Charles Dickens famously wrote in The Tale of Two Cities, "It was the best of times and it was the worst of times." This describes our lives where joy and anguish, positivity and fear exists at the same time. We can have elation going on, celebration, but an undercurrent of anxiety and dread. And we often even experience those things concurrently. These feelings are not mutually exclusive. This coming week is Holy Week. We could say it's a week of emotional whiplash. Today we're celebrating Palm Sunday, the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. On Good Friday, we experience the anguish of the death on his cross. And then on Easter Sunday, we celebrate his resurrection. Today we celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem with the shouting crowds, the waving of the palm branches. People are shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Hosanna both means praise and it means we are saved. It's like salvation from the Son of David. Salvation has come. I chose this clip from The Chosen this morning because we were watching it together. Lori and I were watching it this past week, and the anguish on the face of Jesus as he prepared to enter the city of Jerusalem made it very clear he knew what was going to take place. He wasn't saying, "Today's the day when the crowds are going to celebrate me and I'm going to be celebrated as a king." Rather, he was saying, "Today I am walking towards the purpose that I came into this world to accomplish." Jesus, in his humanity, can you imagine what he was feeling? The dread, knowing the suffering he would endure, the ridicule, the shame that was waiting him. Yes, there'd be moments of celebration, but how quickly things would change. We know that within 1 week, possibly even those who were celebrating him on that day would turn against him, calling out, "Crucify him." And even one of his own disciples would betray him. For us, the mystery of the cross is a necessary step for us as well. Later on, we will sing, "Oh, the wonderful cross." Yes, the cross is a place of death. It's a place where we experience death and sorrow as well. But the cross is a place of liberation and peace and rest. Jesus set out resolutely for the cross. Can we also see the cross before us as it's set up here? The cross, the place of liberation, peace, and rest. Throughout the Gospels, it's clear Jesus knew what was going to happen. Many times throughout the Gospels, he talked plainly about what was coming. For example, in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 9, he said this, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Later also in the same chapter, it says this, "While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, 'Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men.' But they did not understand what he meant. It was hidden from them, so they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it." In Luke chapter 18, again, he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Just a few passages from the Gospel of Mark. In verse 8, it says this, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again." He spoke this word openly. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. I can imagine, yes, it was tempting to say, Peter, you're right, this is nonsense. But he rebuked him. This is the will of my Father, and I will follow it to the end. And then just 2 days before the Passover, shortly before they entered into Jerusalem, we have the story of the woman who came and she brought very expensive perfume. She broke an alabaster bottle and she poured it on his head. And Jesus said, she poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. So there's no illusions here. Jesus knew what was coming. He embraced the will of the Father. He was not moved by the purposes of the crowd or the adulation or the praise of the crowd. He did not come to rule on earth as an earthly king. He did not come to rule with physical warfare, with oppression and with power, to lead an army to overthrow the Roman Empire. That was not his purpose. You know, sometimes throughout his whole ministry, he got lots of praise, but he also got ridicule. Sometimes when he had crowds following them, he disappeared, went off to pray all night. Sometimes he got in a boat to leave them and go someplace where no one knew him. It's a mark for us that Jesus was not influenced by praise, nor was he influenced by ridicule or scorn. He knew what he was called to do, and he did it with conviction. Can you imagine everyone wanting to make you king? If everyone was coming and saying, here's our king, he's going to rule over us and brought you up. How many of us would be like, well, okay, it's the will of the people. Jesus paid no attention to the crowds. Although he did say, if they remain silent, the stones will cry out. So it was right and appropriate that people welcomed him as a king. For us, it means, do we follow the prescribed ways of the world around us? Are we giving in to the definitions of success and wealth? Are we committed to follow Jesus no matter what and just discover, God, what is your special will for me? What is that calling you have for me, even if it involves suffering, even if people around me just say, look at that fool? Can we embrace the cross of Jesus and follow him no matter what? Can we follow the Jesus way and not the ways that we see all around us? Not give in to the pressures that are all around us saying, this is how we're supposed to live. These are the material resources. This is a house we're supposed to have. All of these things, but to say, God, what are you calling me to do? And know that this will be the place of life and not the place of death. We often sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me and the cross before me. It goes like this. Give me Jesus. You can sing it with me. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Jesus came on a donkey. This signified that, yes, he was coming as a king. The donkey was a sign that was immediately recognized by the Jewish people. It was prophesied about in Zechariah 9:9, where it says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This donkey represented that Jesus was saying, yes, I am your king. But I'm not a king of this world. I will not give in to their power structures. He demonstrated this by coming on a donkey, a lowly place, like his birth, being simple without riches, being born in a stable. Now he comes as king and Lord over all, entering Jerusalem with humility, putting himself in a lowly place with his intent to lay down his life for others and to rise as king over all. Jesus rode the donkey to the lowest and most humiliating point in all of human history. When he, as he approached Jerusalem then, it says in verse 41 of Luke 19, he saw the city and he wept over it. It says, because you did not recognize the time of God's calling to you. And then he prophesies what's going to come, that the city's going to be attacked, torn down. At that moment, Jesus is weeping because he sees the suffering of people who rejected him. He sees the suffering of those because they did not receive him. The violence is going to continue. Their striving is going to be continue. People who are lost in sin without the Messiah. And today, Jesus weeps over them who do not recognize him. The people around us who are lost without him, that they're going to continue in the cycles of poverty, the cycles of sin, the cycles that lead to destruction. The people who are lost without him. Jesus weeps over us. What are those areas in our life that have still not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus? Where are the areas of our lives where anxiety and fear of man, fear of what could happen in this world, the attractions of this world, the confusion, where are those areas where those things are reigning, where Jesus is not fully Lord, where those things are not submitted to him? Jesus weeps over us, longing for us to turn to him. Do we recognize the time of God's coming to us? Do we hear him calling to us? Do we see him walking to us and knocking on the door of our hearts? Jesus is calling to each one of us, saying, today's the day. Will you come to the cross with me? Will you surrender everything to me and let me give you life? This is the beautiful, mysterious call of Jesus. Come with me to the cross. Surrender everything, and I will give you life. When Jesus then entered Jerusalem, the first thing he did, according to the Gospel of Luke, is he went straight to the temple and he cleansed it. He drove out those money changers. He drove out those who were doing business in the courts of the temple that were meant to be places of prayer, but instead were places of commerce and selling and making money. He showed his zeal for worship and for prayer. You know, this also speaks to us because the scriptures say that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God wants to come and dwell in us as his temple. Today, as we prepare for this week, this holy week leading up to Easter, can we take time to say, Lord, what do you want to cleanse out of my life? Can we look inwards and say, what are those areas that need Jesus to come in, even with his whip, so to speak, and drive out those evil things in my life, those areas of deadness, also to bring them before Jesus, to bring them to the cross, and say, yes, Lord Jesus, cleanse me, make me new, make me ready to be a person of prayer, make me ready to be your worshiper. Let me approach this Good Friday and Easter Sunday learning more and more freedom. Jesus came on this journey directly to the cross with his determination, nothing will stop me, because of his hope of the resurrection. Jesus knew that death could not hold him. He knew that, yes, he would suffer the worst suffering and humiliation. He would be flogged. He'd be paraded before the people carrying his own cross, that he'd be stripped and nailed to a cross, enduring an agonizing death. But he knew that he would rise. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We also now approach this holy week in the hope and the certainty of resurrection. It says in Romans chapter 6, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. Again, if we die with him, we will believe we will also live with him. This is speaking of eternal life. The hope we have that when we die, we will go to the place that's been prepared for us in heaven. And therefore, we do not need to fear. We do not need to fear death. It also speaks to us in this world that Jesus came to give us life and to give us abundant life. His will is that we don't live in anxiety and fear and depression, that we don't live in doubt or controlled by the circumstances around us, but to find freedom. I was struck in The Chosen film when Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Will you come with me? Will you come with me?" He's really saying to them, "Will you come with me to the cross, to the place of surrender, of surrendering all of our shame, our sin, our worries, anxieties, our striving?" He takes all this on himself on the cross. It's a place, as we've said already, a place of rest and peace, because we can surrender. It's a place of life. This past week, as I struggled through this message, and yes, it was a struggle, it was also the beautiful part of coming to the cross and finding peace. Of whenever those anxious thoughts came, when I was struggling trying to find the right words, or God, is this coming together, or just looking at my life, and sometimes just getting caught up in those negative thoughts, just saying, "Lord Jesus, I bring this to the cross." Envisioning myself even being next to Jesus on the cross and saying, "Jesus, I give this to you. I give this to you." Something else comes up, "Lord, I give it to you." And you take it all onto the cross, onto yourself. Jesus takes our suffering and our shame. When we're coming to the cross, it's not that he's calling us to endure the agony that he endured. He endured that agony and shame so that we do not have to. He comes inviting us, saying, "Bring everything, cast it on me on the cross. I take on your sin. I take on your shame. And in place, I give you life." It's the place of liberty and freedom. On the pews around you, you'll see some brightly colored papers. I'd like you to pass those out. If you have some next to you, pass it on to the person next to you. Each of us has at least one paper. There's also pencils in front of you in the pews. I invite you, as we begin just waiting on the Lord, we'll spend some time just without singing, listening to the Lord, and allowing the conviction of the Holy Spirit to come, the good conviction. That time when we hear, yes, Jesus is knocking and saying, "Will you surrender this to me? Will you surrender your life to me?" If there's areas that we know there's worry and fear, anxiety, if we see those areas of striving, we've been trying our own to get ahead, trying to do the right thing, there's areas of struggle, I invite you to write these things down on the paper. And then we will invite you to come to the cross. You can fold that piece of paper, pin it on the cross. There's tacks here. Leave it there, and that be your place of surrendering these areas to Jesus on the cross. Later this week, we will gather all of those papers. We're not going to read them. We're going to pray over them, and we're going to burn them, knowing these things are taken care of. It's our statement of faith that, yes, Jesus, you are enough. You take care of these areas in my life. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Show us the reality of Jesus on the cross. Help us, Lord, to see him inviting us, calling us to surrender. Lord, if there's those today who have never surrendered their lives to you, I pray, Lord, today would be their day to say, yes, I surrender my life to Jesus. And I receive his forgiveness. I receive his life. Lord, for others, I speak healing and freedom and deliverance over these areas we're writing down on these pieces of paper. Lead us now, Lord, into this holy week. We want to journey with you to the cross and rise with you in your resurrection.